Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Samuel Lustgarten, and I'm the host of the Clinical Consult podcast from the National Register of Health Service Psychologists. Today, I'm going to take a little departure from our podcast and talk with the CEO of the National Register, Dr. Daniel Elkert. Today, we're going to be talking about credentials banking. So, Daniel, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much, Sam. Looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. Daniel, I'm really excited to be talking about something that is a little bit more technical. It's a departure from our typical podcast topics. And in this moment, we have a quick 10 to 15 minutes where we want to cover some things having to do with credentials banking, the process that people have to go through, and what makes banking your credentials so special. So I want to start with that first question. What is credentials banking?
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think you can think about credentials banking really as something that healthcare providers do, including licensed psychologists, really on a voluntary basis for the purpose of documenting their education and training. So in the case of licensed psychologists, this could mean one's doctoral transcripts, their internship and postdoc experiences, and licenses that they carry at the state level. The National Register is actually the nation's largest credentials bank for licensed psychologists, and we offer what is called the Health Service Psychologist or HSP credential. And anecdotally, psychologists who are fully credentialed members of the National Register are referred to as registrants. At least that's what I've been calling fully credentialed members.
Sure. I mean, this is at the core of what the National Register really does. And I'm curious what makes banking with the National Register so special or unique.
Thanks for that question. Credentials banked with the National Register are verified by something called primary source verification. And this is a process the National Register has used since our founding, really, in the mid-70s. So for example, what that means is information about your clinical training is received directly from your clinical supervisors, for example. We look at one's education and training materials with respect to these longstanding and really established criteria and guidelines for the profession of health service psychology. And those specific criteria are publicly available on our website, which is nationalregister.org. So the credentialing process is something that can take some time, but it does culminate, like I said, in the HSP credential that I mentioned a moment ago.
Daniel, I appreciate you also naming the website too, that everything we're talking about today, people can check it out at nationalregister.org for more information. I want to kind of highlight this question in a broader way. Why should we bank our credentials with the National Register?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons for that. And I think the first reason, Sam, is really for yourself, for future you, so to say. And that's because the HSP credential provides you a lot of different benefits should you choose to apply for the credential, including licensure mobility. So we've got your back if you move from one jurisdiction or state to another jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. It provides unlimited employment verification. I think that's another great reason. So sometimes future employers may wish to see verification of a psychologist's education and training from a reputable third party, which is a service that the Register has provided to full members for many, many years as a benefit of membership. But really, there are a lot of reasons, and I would encourage interested listeners to really check out the range of benefits that are offered through the National Register's credentialing process on our website. The other component to this, Sam, that I want to underscore is I view credentialing with the National Register really as a public service. And to be clear, this is a voluntary process. It's not compulsory. And it's not the same thing, for example, as holding a license to practice. As you know, that a license to practice is something that a state or typically a state board of psychology would provide. So that's separate from credentialing. But it does help in that public service sense set licensed psychologists apart in the burgeoning mental health service delivery space in the economy. And it helps to demonstrate to the public that, you know, as a doctoral level healthcare practitioner, as a doctoral level psychologist, you are really committed to not just clinical excellence in the delivery of care, but high standards from both an education and training perspective as well.
I really like the phrase you used there, the idea of like, this is an investment in your future self. There's so many things that can happen as you're gaining these training experiences, and it's an investment in your ability to move jurisdictions and all the things you mentioned right there. Now, let's say I'm interested and I'm ready to bank my credentials. What does this process look like?
It's quite easy to get started. And I do want to just emphasize for listeners that, you know, credentials banking is a voluntary service that I encourage, you know, I think it's a really good thing to do. I encourage people to think about this and weigh their own professional interests. I think it's a really good step to take to support your career, and it's really easy to get started. If you're a doctoral student in health service psychology, for example, you can go to our website, nationalregister.org, and join our associate program. I'm very proud to say that it's totally free to be an associate member, which gives you some time to gain benefits from the National Register, like our monthly clinical webinars, access to our listserv, and a host of other free benefits that associate members are provided free of charge, and to consider where you are in the credentialing process. And so after you create your associate program account, you can access that account freely at any time on our website. And you can start banking even your practicum hours at any time. And after then you earn your doctoral degree, you can bank your internship and your postdoc experiences and any active licenses that you have to practice at the state level. And that's the part where that primary source verification process kicks in, where we go through to get those original sources at that part of the process. It sounds like a lot, I know, when I say it, but it's quite easy to get started. It is free to get started. And along the way, our expert credentialing staff are really here to help you in this process, to think through what works best for you, if it makes sense for your professional trajectory, and to really support you in every step of the way.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for giving us a very quick, brief rundown of the credentials banking process and some of the reasons why you'd want to do it in the first place. We wanted to keep this quick and tight, and so thank you so much for taking the time to listen to a brief audio clip, and we hope you listeners have a great day, and thank you for tuning in with us.